as finally we move on to the ninth canto. So Sukadev Goswami, he tells the history of King Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj was king of whole India, but he used to spend his holidays, especially Ekadasi, in Mathura, in Madhuban. There he would follow the fast of Dasami. Ekadasi he would completely fast, staying awake at night. And on the Dwadasi day, he would take prasad at Nipadan. The glories of Ekadasi are completely unlimited. Because in Kali Yuga, people cannot follow many rules and regulations, many different fasting days. Krishna, out of his kindness, has said, just do one day. Therefore, 2 days a month, 11 days after the full moon, 11 days after the new moon, the devotees of Hari perform Ekadasi Vrat. Krishna basati basati bodhi parama adara kori. Krishna sits in the day of Ekadasi. Therefore, one who follows Ekadasi, he satisfies the Supreme Lord, he achieves devotion. Therefore, Madhava Titi, Bhakti Janani. Therefore, Madhava Titi or Ekadasi is called Bhakti Janani, the birthplace of devotion. Ambarish Maharaj taught us in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam how important it is to follow Ekadasi. We were discussing a little bit the other day, all type of sinful activity can be counteracted by some form of penance or prayaschitta, except the sin of missing Ekadasi. For missing Ekadasi, there's no penance. Therefore, despite being Ambarish Maharaj showed us how to engage all the limbs of the body in the service of Krishna, Rishikesha, Rishikena, Seva. Bhakti means to engage all the senses in the service of Rishikesh. Because of his devotion, Ambarish Maharaj considered the opulence that he had to be insignificant as a piece of stone. Savaimana Krishna Padaravindeo Vachamsi Vaikunda Gunanu Vanano Karo Hariya Mandira Majanadi So Shrutim Chukachyuta Satkatho Gadaya. Savaimana Krishna Padaravindeo. Most importantly, he used his mind to always think of Krishna. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Vanano. He used his voice, his tongue, to always chant Harikata, the name of Krishna. Even though he was a king, he didn't pay someone 50 rupees a month to worship his deity. Karo Hariya Mandira Majanadiso. Even though he was king of the whole world with his own hands, he would clean the temple of Krishna. Shrutim Chakra Achuta Sat Kathodaya. He used his ears not for putting earrings in, but for hearing the pastimes of a Lord. Mukunda Lingalaya Darshana Driso. He used his eyes to have darshan of the Lord. Tadbritta Gatra Spasha Anga Sangamam. He used his body to embrace the body of the Vaishnavas. Griyanam Chatat Pada Saroja Sorube. He even used his feet in the service of the Lord. Padasevanam, one of the limbs of Padasevanam, is to walk to the holy places to perform parikram. Shrimat Tulsasya Rasanam Tadarpite. He would taste with his tongue, he would taste the Mahaprasad, especially the tulsi leaves, offered to the feet of Krishna. Padau Hari Chetra Padanu Shapane Shiro Rishikesha Padabhi Bindane Bandane. He used his head in bowing to Krishna. He said, that head which does not bow before the Lord is like a heavy weight. That tongue which does not chant the name of Krishna is like the tongue of a frog. Those eyes which have not seen Krishna are like, as useful as the eyes on a peacock feather. Those ears which are not hearing the pastimes of Krishna are like the ears on a conch shell. Therefore, Siro Rishikesha Padmanabha Bindane. Some of us, we come in, we don't even offer pranam to Thakurji. Kamam chadasye natu kama kamaye. all his desires he used in fulfilling the desires of Krishna. Even in perfection there is desire, but that desire is dovetailed with the interest of Hari Guru Vaishnav. We discussed 9 limbs of devotion. Therefore he performed all of them, engaging all his 11 senses. That is the real ekadasi. Ekadas means 11. Ekadasi doesn't just mean eating potatoes or fasting. Ekadasi means on that one day, especially, we engage all our 11 senses in the service of Krishna. That is called the real ekadasi. Therefore, Ambarish Maharaj showed us how to follow it ideally. Therefore, he had not so much interest in performing the duties of running the kingdom. His main interest was in Seva Puja. One day on the Dwadasi, Ekadasi means we can do 3 types of Ekadasi. If one has power, one can completely fast, even from drinking water and abstaining from sleeping during the night. Even Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, when he was 100 years old, he would still follow that type of Ekadasi. That's the gold medal Ekadasi. If you cannot do that, then you can just take some water to maintain yourself. But if you cannot even abstain from water, then one can take anukalpa. 7 things do not break Ekadasi: fruits, roots, dairy products, the order of the Guru, and the order of the Brahman. Sometimes, isn't it Bhakti Srila Sridhara Maharaj? If some devotee was going for some seva on Ekadasi, he used to, you should take grains. Because if you don't eat grains, then how you'll have strength to do your seva. Therefore, even that is not considered to be breaking Ekadasi because the order of the spiritual master. Therefore, Ekadasi is due to astrology. When Ekadasi begins, when it ends, is due to the position of the moon. Therefore, there's a very fixed time for breaking Ekadasi that is called Padan on the Dwadasi. If you miss the Padan, if you do not break the fast in the correct time, then your vrat, your vow of Ekadasi is lost. Therefore, after fasting the whole night, performing kirtan the whole night, the next morning on the Dwadasi, after Ambarish Maharaj had fed the Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas, and the guests, Ambarish Maharaj was just about to take some Mahaprasad to break his fast. When that time the greatly powerful Sadhu Durvasa appeared. Durvasa is a very strange personality. He's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. One time Narad Muni was discussing the glories of the most chaste women in the universe before Lakshmi, before Gayatri, Saraswati, and before Parvati. All 3 women had a great pride. We are the most chaste women in the universe. That time Narad Muni was chanting the glories of Aholya, Anusuya. How astonishing it is, even though she is a human woman, she is the most chaste woman in the universe. Then those other 3, Lakshmi, Parvati, and Satya, some say Gayatri, become very jealous. We are residents of the celestial planets. How we can be defeated by a human lady? Therefore they made a plan how to break her chastity. They asked her husbands, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, to go there and to break her chastity. How? They disguised themselves as brahmanas and went there. Oh, Bhavatim Bhiksham Dehi. Oh, mother, please give us some charity. We are brahmanas begging. So Anusuya went behind to bring some rice and dal. They said, no. We will only take charity from you if you are completely naked. Anusuya was thinking a very strange request. She consulted her husband, Atri. Atri made her understand, these are not 3 ordinary beggars. This is Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh come to test you. Anusuya said, I will appear before you naked, but I also have one condition. You should become 3 small children. because a woman being naked before small children, her chastity is not lost. Therefore, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh took the form of small babies, and they became the children of Anusuya. Meanwhile, Saraswati, Lakshmi, and Parvati had become very worried their husbands had not returned. Therefore, they could understand by Narad Muni again that their three husbands had taken the form of children. Therefore, those three ladies took the form of Brahmanis and went to Anusuya. Mother, please give us a donation, mother-in-law. Anusuya said, how you can say I am mother-in-law? I have no married sons. Yes, yes, because our husbands have become your sons, therefore you are now our mother-in-law. What charity do you want? Please give us back our husbands. Anusuya said, I will give you them back, but in one form they will stay with me. Therefore, baby Vishnu remained and grew up to become Bhagavan Dattatreya ki. Brahmaji grew up to become Chandra, and baby Shiva grew up to become the partial expansion of Mahadev, Durvasa Rishi. Therefore, Durvasa Rishi features many times in the pastimes of Krishna. Gurumai said, just like Lord Shiva is a great devotee, we should understand Durvasa Rishi to be also a great devotee. Only he is doing many things to create interest in the pastimes of Krishna and to manifest the super excellence of Vaishnavism. Therefore, Ariradisu Krishna Mahisya Tulya Silaya Yukta Sambat Sarambiro Dadhara Dorsi Bratam. Therefore, very eager to worship Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish followed the vrat of a codicil for 1 year. That time was the month of Kartik, and after observing a fast for 3 nights, if you really want to do a codicil, one should only eat once on the day before a codicil. A codicil, you should not take anything, and on the next day, dwadasi, you should eat only once. Therefore, he fasted for 3 nights, and after bathing in the Yamuna, Ambarish Maharaj worshipped Krishna in Madhuvan. After giving Krishna all types of nice offerings, he served the Brahmanas Mahaprasad and his guests. Just when Ambarish Maharaj was going to break the fast, the greatly powerful sage Durvasa Rishi appeared as an uninvited guest. Ambarish Maharaj stood up to respect Durvasa Rishi. He offered him a seat and worshipped him. He offered him some Mahaprasad. Durvasa Rishi said, first I will take bath in the Yamuna. That time Durvasa Rishi was taking a very long time. Ambarish Maharaj became very worried. What should I do? It's a matter of great disrespect to eat before the guest. But on the other hand, if I wait any longer for him and he does not return, I cannot eat in the correct time. Therefore, I will lose my codicil. That time he consulted with the Vaishnavas. Guru Maharaj said, not the Brahmanas. What do the Brahmanas know? Ambarish Maharaj consulted with the Vaishnavas. Now I'm in a great danger. If I do not take the padan at the correct time, I will lose my codicil. If I lose my codicil, my bhakti will be affected. What should I do? Should I break the rules of society that the common men consider very important? Or should I protect my devotion? Ambarish Maharaj knew very well there was a very huge possibility, in fact, 100% possibility, that if he disrespected Durvasa Rishi, that he would be cursed to death. Durvasa Rishi was very irascible. In fact, he burnt his first two wives to ashes. Therefore, when he was angry, it was not a good thing. Therefore, taking consultation from the Vaishnavas said, if you take some charanamrita, some water that has washed the feet of Krishna, or that has washed the deity, you will break the fast and you will not break the fast. Therefore, given two choices, to save his bhakti or to keep the material rules and regulations of society, Ambarish Maharaj drank some foot bathing water of Krishna, 3 drops. The king was thinking, to transgress the rules of respectable behavior towards a brahmana is certainly a great offense. On the other hand, if one does not observe the breaking of the fast within the time of Dwadasi, there is a flaw in one's observance of the Ekadasi vow. Therefore, I will break the fast by drinking water. For according to the opinion of the brahmanas, drinking water may be accepted as eating, and it may be considered to be not eating also. Durvasa Rishi is not an ordinary personality. He is Trikalagya Venu. He knows past, present, and future. Therefore, Durvasa Rishi could understand, this king has disrespected me by eating before me. Aho asya ni sangsanasya siyan matasya rapasyata. This king is a greatly wicked person. He's very cruel and proud of his material opulence. He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and position, he considers himself to be God. Just see how he has transgressed the rules of religion and of common decency. Very angry, Durvasa Rishi went there and chastised Ambarish Maharaj. You have invited me as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you have eaten first. Because of your misbehavior, I shall now punish you. As Durvasa Muni said this, Durvas, because he never used to change his clothes, therefore his name was Durvasa. His face became red from anger. He pulled out a dreadlock from his head, cast it on the ground. Immediately from that dreadlock came a huge fire beast. With a trident in his hand, he made the earth, surface of the earth shake as he walked. That fire beast came to burn Ambarish to ashes. Seeing his impending death, Ambarish Maharaj was not afraid. Vyas, come in the front. Why are you sitting there near the garbage bin? As that fire beast came, that fiery demon came to burn Ambarish Maharaj to ashes. Ambarish Maharaj simply remembered the Supreme Lord. Ambarish Maharaj was not praying for his protection. Draupadi prayed for protection. Therefore, even sometimes, Rupa Goswami says, even in times of emergency, one prays to Krishna for something like saving one's body. Because it's an emergency, it's not transgressing the rules of pure bhakti. But Ambarish Maharaj did not even do that. As that Kriti, what was the name of that fire demon? Kriti. As he came to burn Ambarish Maharaj to ashes, he simply remained there remembering Krishna. But Krishna could not tolerate the harm of his devotee. Therefore, Krishna immediately sent his Sudarshan Chakra, the ultimate weapon of the Supreme Lord. That Sudarshan Chakra came and burned that fire demon to ashes. And then that Sudarshan Chakra began to run behind Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasa Rishi. Durvasa Rishi was terrified. It's Armageddon. It's Armageddon out of here. Durvasa Rishi began to run. Put on his best pair of Nikes. But no matter how fast he ran or where he fled, the Sudarshan Chakra was behind him. He ran to the Himalayas. He ran to the bottom of the ocean. He ran to the lower heavenly planets. He ran to the higher heavenly planets. But wherever he ran, he saw in the rear vision mirror, the Sudarshan Chakra was just behind him. Finally, he thought, where can I go? Everywhere he went, the Sudarshan Chakra was burning behind him. He thought, let me run to the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma. He ran there crying, oh my Lord, oh Brahma, kindly protect me from the blazing Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was knocking on Brahma's door, but Brahma was pretending that no one was home. When Brahma, through the spy hole, saw the chakra of the Supreme Lord is coming to his abode, Brahma became afraid and said, Durvasa, I cannot protect you. At the end of the dissolution of the universe, this Sudarshan chakra finishes everything. Therefore, all of us, including myself, we bow our heads to the Supreme Lord. I cannot help you. Therefore, Durvasa left and ran towards his father, because Durvasa is a partial incarnation of Shiva. Oh, my dear Lord, please save me. Please save me. In Kailash, Mahadev was sitting. When he saw the personal weapon of the Supreme Lord coming to his abode, Mahadev stood up and said, my dear son, I myself, Lord Brahma and all the other demigods who move in this universe under the misconception of our own greatness, we cannot do anything before the personal weapon of the Supreme Lord. Millions and millions of universes are destroyed just by the flick of the eyebrow of Lord Vishnu. How can I save you? Therefore he said, I cannot help you. Therefore, after being disappointed, even after taking shelter of Lord Shiva, on the indication of Lord Shiva, Durvasa came to Lord Narayan, Vishnu. There, in Vaikuntha, Prapanchik Vaikuntha, every universe has one special place where the Lord resides. That is called Rampriya Vaikuntha or Prapanchik Vaikuntha. Durvasa Rishi, scorched by the fire of the Sudarshan Chakra, came running and fell at the feet of Lord Narayan. His whole body was trembling. He cried, I am a great offender, but you are the only object of shelter in the three worlds. Please give me protection. Please save me. Just as one who falls to the ground lifts himself off from the ground, one who makes offense to you can take shelter only of you. The time the Supreme Lord said, Aham Bhakta Paradino, I Aswatantra Ivadvija Sadube Grasti Didayo Bhakter Bhakta Janapriya. Narayan said, O Durvasa, I cannot help you. I'm not independent. I do not belong to myself. I belong to my devotee. Because I have completely sold myself to the devotee, I am not independent to act. Just like if I have a cow and I sell my cow to Kishore, Kishore takes my cow back to Baja, do I have any right to ring up Kishore and say, Kishore, how's my cow going? Are you feeding my cow? I have no right to ask because I've sold the cow. In the same way, a surrendered soul has no right to ask the spiritual master, why are you doing this? He has no right because he has sold his independence to someone else. In the same way, Lord Narayan says, I am not independent to act, Durvasa, because I am completely under the control of my devotee. Sadube graste ridayo. I am bound in the heart of my devotee. Bhakter, the devotee, is very dear to me. And Bhakter, Bhakta, Janapriya. Even the devotee of such a devotee is very dear to me. Therefore, only Mother Yasoda could bind Krishna. Not by any rope, not by her mystic power, not by her meditation. Mother Yasoda bound Krishna only by the rope of her pure affection. In the same way, the Lord, who has no inside or no outside, how can you bind someone who is all-pervading, Janava? With pure love. Therefore, Narayan says, Durvasa, I am completely controlled by my devotee. My devotee has completely bound me. Therefore, I cannot act independently of the desire of my devotee because I have no independence. The devotee has bound me and Bhakter Bhakta Janapriya. Even the devotee of such a devotee has bound me. Therefore, Srila Sridhar Maharaj used to explain why the service of the Vaishnavas have such power. Because Krishna made a promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Sit properly. Krishna made a promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Jejatam mam prapadyante tam sateva bhajaham yaham mamavat manuvatante manus manasaprita sarvasa. Hey Prita, hey Arjuna, I reward you in the same way that you surrender to me. Krishna makes a vow to reciprocate. Therefore the devotee has given everything to Krishna. Manasa deho geo jo kichumor apila duapada nandikisho. The devotee has offered everything to Krishna, and Krishna has made a promise to reciprocate. But when Krishna tries to give the devotee some service, a nice wife, some money, temple president, the devotee will not take any material remuneration from Krishna. Therefore, like the gopis, the devotees will pray, just give me more service. Therefore, Krishna becomes even more indebted, more worried. Therefore, we should be very careful that we don't take anything in remuneration from Krishna for our service. Otherwise, Krishna may cheat us by giving us some material thing. One time, a disciple of Sri Saraswati Thakur, one day he came in a little bit of a sad mood. Gurudev, I am 20 years in the mission and I have not achieved anything. I have not gotten anything. Saraswati Thakur thought very carefully and said, "Very good, keep going." Means after 20 years of service, you have nothing, only service. What else do you want? Therefore, the fruit of service to Krishna is more service. Therefore, we should not be sad that many people are not joining, because who will sign such a contract? I promise to perform devotional service with body, mind, and words 24 hours a day and never get anything back. Not so many people are eager to sign such a contract. Then when Krishna sees that devotee is not taking anything, Krishna sells himself to such a devotee. Krishna said, "Tumar, Krishna dite pare, tumara sakate ache, O Vaishnav Thakur, you have purchased Krishna. I want Krishna, therefore you have the power to give Krishna to me. Daitava pache pache, I am simply running behind you chanting, give me Krishna, give me Krishna." Therefore, that pure devotee who does not take anything in remuneration from service by his service to Krishna, then Krishna becomes very much preoccupied and disturbed. Therefore, this is the trick of the bona fide guru. He enables that neophyte person to serve him. Then Krishna thinks, that person is fulfilling my desire. I wanted to serve my devotee, but Krishna said, I got no chance. But this devotee is serving that devotee. Therefore, Krishna thinks, I'll give everything to the devotee of that devotee. Bhakter, Bhakter Janapriya. Therefore, the servant of such a Vaishnava is also very dear to me. Krishna said, Duvasa, without my devotees, I have no desire to enjoy my own transcendental opulence. What would Krishna do alone in Goloka Vrindavan? How he can enjoy there without someone to help him? No one. Therefore, Krishna said, without my devotee, I cannot even enjoy anything. My devotees are my life and soul. The devotees have given up their homes, their wives, their children, their riches, and even their lives just to serve me, without any desire for material enjoyment in this life or the next life. Narayan said, how I can repay such devotees at any time? I cannot repay them. Just as a chaste and gentle woman brings her husband under control by service, in the same way the devotees completely control me. As the Prabhupada said, the art of a woman, her expertise is not to fight with the husband and argue, because then the husband thinks, she never listens to anything I say. She's completely unsubmissive. Why the hell should I maintain her? Therefore he kicks her and goes and get another one. That's the foolishness of the woman. She's not intelligent to understand how to control the husband. You don't control the husband by fighting with him. You control him by becoming submissive and serving him. Then you can completely control the husband. Husband becomes like a piece of wet dough in your hands. You can make him do anything you want. Prabhupada said that's the genius of the woman, not to control the husband by fighting with him, but by serving him, completely control him, by seva. And Narayan says, I'm the same way. who can control Krishna? He's completely independent. But he can be controlled by submissive and affectionate service. Narayan says that a chaste woman brings her husband under control by service in the same way. The pure devotees who are equal to everyone completely bring me under their control by their seva. Therefore, my devotees have so much dedication to me, they do not even accept the four types of liberation, even if offered by me. O durvasa sadavo ridayam mayam sarunam ridayam mayam nadiyanyatena manajapi naham tenya jananapi. O durvasa, I have no independence, I am completely surrendered to my devotee. Sadunam sadavo ridayanunam. I always think of my devotee, and the devotee always thinks of me. Mat anyatena jananati naham tebyo manajapi. I don't know anything else except them. And they do not know anything else except me. When Narad Muni went to visit Krishna and Arjuna, what did he see? Krishna and Arjuna were embracing each other on the bed, but head to toe. Krishna was holding the feet of Arjuna to his chest, and every pore of Krishna's body was chanting, Arjun, Arjun, Arjun. And Arjuna was holding the feet of Krishna on his chest, and every particle, every pore of Krishna's, of Arjuna's body was chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Therefore Krishna said, I don't know anything else except my devotee. I never think of anything else except my devotee. I completely belong to my devotee. In the same way, my devotee doesn't know anything else but me, thinks of nothing else but me, and is the property of me also. Therefore, very intimate relationship. Therefore, the spiritual masters be considered the same as Krishna. Shakshad haritvana samasta sastre uktastata bhavyateva sadvi. The spiritual master, because he is completely absorbed in Krishna, he has completely surrendered himself to Krishna, he thinks of Krishna 24 hours a day and is always engaged in the service of Krishna, therefore he is to be considered non-different than Krishna. Okay, Haridas, still alive back there? I'm glad finally someone really brought their sleeping bag to class. If you're going to sleep in class, you might as well do it properly. Haridas, Baruki, yay! If you stretched out on the with a pillow, then you'd be really doing a fine job and making your mother proud. Therefore, such an intimate bond is there between Krishna and his devotee. Because the spiritual master always thinks of Krishna, he never does anything else except the service of Krishna. Because Krishna is always residing in his heart, there is nothing else except Krishna in his heart. Therefore, he is considered non-different than Krishna. But he is not Krishna at the same time. If we take a rasgulla and put it into sugar water, what happens, Radhika? Huh? Say a bit louder. Soaks up the sugar, therefore the rasgulla becomes completely like sugar in every respect. Every particle of the rasgulla has sugar there, therefore it's non-different than sugar, but still the rasgulla is not sugar. The rasgulla is a rasgulla. The same way the spiritual master, by being completely absorbed in Krishna, by having Krishna in his heart, he becomes non-different than Krishna. Therefore there's many stories in the Bhagavatam how Krishna becomes the property of his devotee. One time, in the Bhagavatam, it's described, Krishna and all the residents of Dwarka went to Kurukshetra. Afterwards, we'll discuss in the 10th canto. Therefore, the time of a lunar eclipse is a great chance to give charity. Therefore, Narad Muni came, and he wanted some charity. Therefore, Narad took Krishna, because Krishna belongs to Narad Muni. And all the queens wanted to offer some charity to Krishna, to Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, I will sell Krishna to you, because Krishna is mine, he belongs to me. You have to give me the equal weight of Krishna's body in gold. So Narad Muni wanted to sell Krishna back to the queens of Dwarka. Therefore, they made one big scale. So the queens of Dwarka, We thought Radhika had a lot of makeup. Imagine the queens of Dwarka. How much jewelry they have? Earrings, crowns, necklaces, rings. 16,108 queens of Dwarka who are all Mahalakshmis. Therefore, Krishna was on one side. All the queens of Dwarka, in order to buy Krishna back off Narad Muni, they put all their gold on the scale. But no matter how much wealth they put on, Krishna was still heavy. They could not purchase Krishna with their wealth. Therefore, the queens of Dwarka became much morose. There was indicated, if you want to purchase Krishna, then you have to go to Srimati Radhika. Only she completely owns Krishna. Therefore, weeping, the queens of Dwarka went to Radhika, and Radharani gave them one tulsi leaf with her tear on. If you put this on, you will purchase Krishna. How cruel are the queens of Dwarka, you can think, compared to Radhika. If Radharani sees anyone else is serving Krishna, she becomes very happy. Radharani says, if I see that Krishna is attached to any lady, then I can understand that he will only be happy by her. I will personally go to that gopi and fall at her feet and bring her for the happiness of Krishna. But queens of Dwarka are not so liberal like Srimati Radhika. Therefore, they put that tulsi leaf with Radharani's tear, and immediately Krishna went down. When Krishna went in the air, Krishna was purchased by Radharani's tears. Therefore, again and again, we see the same thing. Krishna does not belong to himself. Krishna belongs to the devotee. When Raghunath Goswami, he wanted to reach the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tried again and again to reach the Lord by his own efforts, but he failed. Then finally, the great Avadhut Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Nitai Chand Ki Jai. By his mercy, Nityananda Prabhu came to Panihati. When he saw Raghunath Goswami, he punished, "You are a big criminal, a thief. You are trying to steal something which does not belong to you. Because everybody knows the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are my property," Nityananda Prabhu said. "How you can take my property without my permission? Therefore, I will punish you." And Nityananda, who is very funny, grabbed Raghunath Goswami, pushed him on the ground, and Nityananda put his own feet on his head. "I am punishing you because you are trying to steal something which belongs to me." Therefore, again and again, we see Yasya Prasadam Bhagavat Prasado. Yasya prasadam nagati gatopi. Krishna does not belong to himself. Krishna belongs to his devotees. They're without the service of the spiritual master, without the service of the Vaishnav. No one can achieve Krishna. It's quite impossible. Therefore, Narayan said to Durvasa, "I cannot help you in any way. I'm not independent. I belong to my devotee." "Hey, Durvasa, I advise you, for your own well-being, please hear from me. You must go back to Ambarish Maharaj because you have acted with self-envy." Someone may think he has not acted against self-envy. He has acted with envy against the Vaishnav. But he has acted with self-envy because to act against the Vaishnav means to act against your own self-interest. Isn't it? When you, O Durvasa, when one's so-called prowess, power, is used against a Vaishnav, it actually harms that person who employs it. It does not harm the Vaishnav. Therefore, it is the subject of the offense, not the object of the offense, who is harmed. Therefore, for your own benefit, you should go and beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. "There is no use coming to me for forgiveness." Guru Maharaj gives the example. If a thorn goes on your foot, how do you take out the thorn, Rishabhdev Guru? Huh? Also, you cannot take the thorn that goes in the foot, you cannot take it out by the shoulder. In the same way, when the thorn goes into the foot, you have to use another thorn to take that foot out, that thorn out from the foot. In the same way, that mouth, understand, Kishori? That mouth which has been used to blaspheme a Vaishnav, with that mouth you have to beg forgiveness. If that hand has beaten a Vaishnav, you have to use that hand to serve a Vaishnav. In the same way, Duvasa, coming to me. Why are you coming to me for forgiveness? The thorn has not come in the foot. The shoulder, the thorn has come in the foot. Because the Vaishnavas are the representative of the feet of the Lord, you must go back to Ambarish Maharaj. Therefore, we commit some Vaishnava Brad. It's not enough just to beg forgiveness. One must perform some seva. Like we heard, Daksha, he performed offense to Lord Shiva. He begged forgiveness because he had a goat's head. But he didn't satisfy Lord Shiva. Therefore, again, in his next birth, he made the same offense. Therefore, it's not enough simply begging forgiveness. We have to do some seva that the Vaishnava will be pleased upon us again. Like there was one devotee I heard. That time they were distributing Gaudiya Kantaha. That's called a necklace of Vaishnava verses. There was one devotee, won't mention his name. When he saw that book was being distributed, he became very much disturbed. He took that book, threw it on the ground and stamped on it with his feet. When Srila Sridhar Maharaj heard that message, Premji, he sent a message to that devotee. I'm very much worried for your spiritual life. That book is very dear to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And you have made offense to that scripture. Therefore, in order to become free from that offense, you should print 1,000 free copies of that book and distribute it free. Therefore, only begging forgiveness is not enough. We'll have to do some seva. Therefore, O best of brahmanas, you must go immediately to Ambarish Maharaj, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga, and you must beg his mercy. Then there can be peace and goodwill for you. We are discussing Vaishnava Parada is so powerful. Especially leaving the temple, we always have to be very careful. Outside the temple is very easy because there's no Vaishnavas to offend. Srila Gogama said, Vaishnava Parada is so rare because first you have to find a Vaishnav and then you have to offend him. Double difficulty. Very difficult to find a Vaishnav. They're very rare, especially in Kali Yuga. But congratulations, you've done it. You've actually found a Vaishnav and you've offended him. Very difficult, very rare to perform Vaishnava Parada. So, there's one famous story in Mathura. When Gurudev first came to Mathura, all the locals were dead against him. Oh, why these Bengalis have come here? They should nick off, go back to Bengal. All were against. Then when they were doing some construction on the roof of Kesavji Gaudiya Math, some water from the construction fell on the orange juice stand across the road, you know? You know, just on the left side of the gully, there's that orange juice walla. Some water and some concrete maybe, some stones fell on that orange juice stand. Therefore, all the locals became very happy. Here's a chance to give it to the Bengalis. They began shouting, Ahu! And there was a big fight, riot. Then Gurudev personally had to come down and he said to that orange juice walla, please forgive us. Some mistake we made in construction, please don't be angry at us. That man was drinking tea, he threw the chai in Gurudev's face. But Gurudev was very quiet, he didn't say anything. He went away. That next day, that orange juice man was run over by a truck and killed. Then all those persons in that row all became afraid. Oh, just see, he made offense to a Vaishnava, he was killed. All those persons became very much submissive and afraid, and all of them became his Gurudev's disciples. Therefore, Vaishnava Rad is very powerful. That man only throws some chai on Gurudev, he was killed. Imagine if Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Rishi, had actually tried to kill Ambarish Maharaj. 6 offenses to a devotee. Hanti, to beat a Vaishnav. Dweshti, to be envious of a Vaishnav. Hanti, dweshti, tanindati, na Vaishnav abhinandana, krurati na hasamscha, ti sapatantishat. 6 falls, causes of fall down. Hanti, to beat a Vaishnav. Dweshti, to be envious of a Vaishnav. Chanindati, to blaspheme a Vaishnav. Vaishnava krudati, to be angry at a Vaishnava. Nahashamscha, to see Vaishnava and not feel happiness. And also, to not welcome na Abhinandana, to see him and not welcome him. These are six Vaishnava aparads. If you perform them, you will be completely destroyed. Therefore, the Supreme Lord himself gave these instructions. Being thus advised by the Lord, Durvasa Rishi ran back and fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj. He clasped the lotus feet of the king. When Durvasa Rishi grabbed his feet, Ambarish Maharaj felt very much ashamed. Durvasa Rishi was trying to offer prayers, but his voice was choked. Thus, Ambarish Maharaj began to pray to the Sudarshan Chakra on behalf of Durvasa Rishi. Many prayers he offered. When the king offered his prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra, Ambarish Maharaj said, "If our family, my dynasty, has ever performed any charity, any sacrifice, if we have perfectly followed our Varnashram Dharma, if we have ever served the Vaishnavas, I take all my dynasty's Sukriti, pious credits, and I offer them to this Brahmana, Ambarish." Therefore, when Durvasa saw that Ambarish Maharaj was praying for on his behalf, Durvasa Rishi's heart completely melted. Because of the prayers of Ambarish Maharaj, the Sudarshan Chakra became peaceful and stopped burning the Brahmana, Durvasa Rishi. When Durvasa Rishi became peaceful, he was amazed. He prayed, "Aho Ananta Dasaya Marhatvam Drishamasite Adime Kritagaso Piyadra Jam Mangalam Samihase." "Aho Ananta Dasaya, just see the unlimited glories of the devotees of Ananta," that means Krishna, who is unlimited. I tried to kill him, but instead he prayed on my behalf. Duskarau kunu sadhunam dustyajo vi mahatmanam yai sangrihito bhagavan satvatam rishabo hari yannama srutimatrena puman bhavati nimala tasya tita padakimba dasanam avasishati. This is not incredible. For one who has achieved the Supreme Lord, nothing is impossible. After all, yadnama sruti matrina puman bhavati nimala. By someone who just hears the holy name once, he becomes completely pure. Therefore, nothing is impossible for that one who has captured the Supreme Lord personally. O King, you are most kind. I tried to kill you, but instead you prayed for my welfare. I am very much obliged to you, King, because of your mercy. Thus, just see the glories of Ambarish Maharaj. One question may come: the Sudarshan Chakra is the personal weapon of the Supreme Lord. How it could not kill an insignificant yogi like Durvasa? Because while the Sudarshan Chakra was lightly singeing Durvasa, Ambarish Maharaj was praying. Therefore, the Sudarshan Chakra could not kill him. Another reason is because Durvasa Rishi had seen Ambarish Maharaj, by darshan of a Vaishnava, one becomes immortal. And therefore, he also could not be burnt. And Guru Maharaj gives the most confidential reason, because actually, Durvasa Rishi is also a great devotee. Therefore, he is doing this pastime just to manifest the glories of Ambarish Maharaj. Therefore, just see the difference between the great yogi Durvasa and the great devotee Ambarish. When Durvasa Rishi sent the fire demon to kill Ambarish, Ambarish Maharaj stood there very peacefully thinking of the Lord. He was not afraid even of death. He had no bodily conception of life. But when the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing after the Durvasa Rishi, how much Durvasa Rishi was attached to the body, running here, running there, just to save his bacon. Therefore, for 1 year, Durvasa Rishi was meant to be such a great yogi, he could not tolerate even one moment of hunger. But Ambarish Maharaj, while Durvasa Rishi was doing the rounds, Ambarish Maharaj never took anything to eat. How much he was completely sense-controlled. The king therefore respectfully offered Ambarish Maharaj palatable dishes, and again he requested. Duvasa said, "Please take your meal." The king said, "Please take your meal." Duvasa Rishi said, "O king, I am most pleased with you. At first I thought you to be an ordinary human being." Isn't it? Because king means two things, Mahaprabhu said, women and wealth. "I considered you to be an ordinary person, but now I can understand your glories, that you are the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Therefore, simply by seeing you, by touching your feet and talking with you, I've become most obliged to you." Therefore, Duvasa Rishi gave his blessings to Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj continued his devotion. For 1 year, while Ambarish Maharaj was waiting for Duvasa Rishi, he did not take anything. Therefore, Ambarish Maharaj ki jai. Afterwards, Ambarish Maharaj took vanaprast, went to the forest and achieved perfection. At the end of every pariha, at the end of every story of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva Sukadeva Goswami gives a blessing to the reader. Anyone who chants this narration, or even thinks of this narration of Maharaj Ambarish, will definitely become a pure devotee. Sukadeva Goswami ki jai. Si Ambarish Maharaj ki. Duvasa Rishi ki jai. Sudarshan. Darshan means to see. That mercy of the Lord which gives you proper vision to see Gurudev, to see the Vaishnava, and to see the Lord is called Sudarshan. Duvasa Rishi could not see the glories of Ambarish just by looking with the naked eye. But when he got the mercy of the Lord in the form of Sudarshan, then he could have real understanding of who was Ambarish Maharaj. Devo Vaishnav Kriya Mudra Vigyana Bhajiya. You may be very intelligent, may be very good looking, you may be very good at basketball, but doesn't mean that you can understand a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav can be understood only by bhakti. They were again telling the dangers of Vaishnava Parad. Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit the downfall of Subhadi Rishi, Subhadi Muni. Of course, this pastime will also come in the Krishna dancing on the head of Kaliya. So might as well get that finished now, because big history. Subhadi Rishi had desire to perform austerities. Therefore, he was thinking, where can I escape from Maya? Therefore, he thought, I will go in the bottom of the river Yamuna. In the bottom of the river Yamuna, there's no girls, none or nothing. Therefore, he'll be very peaceful. But Krishna explains to Arjuna, lust resides where? Not in the external objects. Lust resides within the senses, within the mind. Therefore, even if you go to the bottom of the Yamuna, even if you go to the forest, you'll still take your mind and senses with you. Therefore, one cannot become free by lust by living in a solitary place. One becomes free from lust by living with Vaishnavas. Therefore, Param Gurudev said, to stay in satsanga means to stay alone. Because when you're with the devotees, there's nothing else. There's only Krishna. Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Prasad. Right, Ram? If to live with the devotees means to live alone. And if you leave Vaishnava Sangha and go alone to the forest, you'll still be there with your own mind. Mind is bad Sangha. Therefore, Subhadi Rishi, he had made offense. He was hiding in the Yamuna, performing his meditations. And there he made offense. A Garuda is the personal carrier of Lord Narayan. A Garuda is very often fond of eating fish and snakes. Therefore, many persons, especially in Bengal, say, well, Garuda is a Vaishnava, he eats fish. We're also Vaishnavas, we can also eat fish. Wrong. Garuda is so kind when he takes a fish, he is not eating it for his own enjoyment. He's liberating the soul from that fish body so they can get a chance for the human birth to perform bhajan. There's a lot of big difference between Garuda eating a fish and you eating a fish. Therefore, Garuda would come and eat the fish from the lake. The fish were very much disturbed. One day, Garuda took the king of fish, a kingfish. All the fish came to Subhadi Rishi for shelter. Gurudev, Tumari, Jai Jai Ho, your glories are unlimited. We are your surrendered disciples. Please protect us. Therefore, Subhadi Rishi, out of false ego, he gave curse. Garuda, if you come here, your head will crack and you will die. Therefore, Subhadi Rishi was very much foolish. He made the offense of Marjata Vyatikram, giving instructions and chastising a senior Vaishnava. Better not do that or our head will also crack. Therefore, Guru Mahārāj said, if someone has come even 1 week before us, you'll have to respect that person as senior. Subhadi Rishi, he thought, I am the well-wisher of the fish. But actually, he became the enemy of the fish. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said all those fish died anyway by the poison of Kaliya. Therefore, Guru Mahārāj is like Garuda, moving everywhere, taking fish from the pond. And the Subhadi Rishis of this world are giving, hey, Narayan Maharaj, don't come here to my fish pond. Get your own fish pond. This is my zone. Therefore, one should not think like that. If pure Vaishnava comes, we should be very happy. I am very much relieved that person is helping taking my disciples back to Godhead. Therefore, Subhadi Rishi was meditating. Said he was liberated soul, impersonally self-realized soul, but because he made offense to Garuda, he made offense to a Vaishnav. What happened, Jagadish, when you make offense to Vaishnavas? Means material desires come in the heart. Why Brahmacharya Sannyasi will fall down, Radhika? Why? Must be they made offense. Then material desire comes, I'll also get married. No, there's no other reason. Therefore, Subhadi Rishi, he made offense to Garuda. Immediately, material desires appeared in his heart. When he was meditating, two fish came and touched his nose. He saw the two fish, became very much excited. I also want to get married. We discussed in the character of Ajamil, the yogis, they take like a bucket of dirty water. If you keep the water in one place, the dirt will sink to the bottom. But if you give it a shake, it comes up again. The yogis, by sitting in one place, peaceful place, not doing anything, their mind and senses become controlled. But the dirt is still in the bottom of the heart. If you give it a shake, it all comes up again. Subhadi Rishi, he was thinking, the fish are my disciples. Therefore, by thinking of the fish, the sex desire of the fish entered his heart and he fell down from the platform of yoga. Therefore, that's why the Madhyamadikaris will fall down, because they are accepting disciples when they should not accept disciples. Because the disciples are always serving them, they become a bond of affection develops between the so-called guru and the so-called disciples. And what happens? Instead of remembering his guru parampara, his guru mantra, Krishna, Radharani, instead of keeping his vision up, he keeps his vision down on the disciples. All the bad qualities of the disciples come and he falls down. There was Subhadi Rishi, he thought, I will save the disciples, but those disciples ended up destroying his spiritual life. Sex desire came in his heart, I also want to get married. He ran to the great emperor, Mandata Rishi. So here the history of Mandata is also given. Mandata's father was a great king who had no son. The sages performed a sacrifice, and they said, King, they had one pot full of water. Whoever drinks this water will produce a child. So in the morning, they will give this water to the wife of the king, but by the force of providence, the king became very much thirsty. He woke up in the middle of the night, I'm very thirsty. Dun, 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 dun. And he drank the magic water. As a result, he became pregnant. Because whatever Sadhu says must come true. Therefore, Sadhu has the power. Agatana gatana patayasi shakti. Krishna has the power to make the impossible become possible. Guru also has the power to make Vijaya Vaishnava impossible. But Guru has that power. Therefore, Vijaya becoming a Vaishnava. Therefore, he drank the water and the king became pregnant. The child developed on the left side of his abdomen. He gave birth. Don't think about it too much. Which, when, how, where, or why? But by the grace of the sages, the king did not die. The child was born, but the king had no breast milk. Obviously. Don't say it. Of course, that can also be done these days. The child was crying. I want something to drink. But the king had no breast milk. Therefore, Indra came down personally. O king, O baby, drink me, Mandata. Mandata means drink me. Therefore, Indra put his finger in the mouth and the baby was sucking the finger of Indra. Therefore, that king became known as Mandata. Mandata had two other brothers. Between them all, they had 50 daughters. Subhadra Rishi, who was afflicted by sex desire, he came. Oh, Mandata, I want to marry your daughter. Give me a daughter. Would you marry your daughter to Subhadra Rishi? Imagine 10,000 years on the ocean, how he looked. Barnacles were stuck on him. Sigmund the sea monster. Bad smell was there. It said his head was trembling. Some sickness was there. He was very old. But Mandata became afraid. If I say no, he'll become angry. And when he's angry, he's going to curse me. When lust is checked, comes anger. Therefore, Mandata said no in a very clever way. Oh, my daughters will choose their own husband. That is called Swayamvara. Imagine there's a row of husbands. Who will choose men? Who will choose Subhadra Rishi? He'll be like the end of the list. Subhadra Rishi laughed. He could understand the mind of the king. He used his mystic potency to make himself very attractive. Subhadra Rishi became so beautiful, the 50 sisters were arguing over him. Janava was saying, I'll take him. Jayashree was saying, I'll take him. They were fighting. Then Subhadra said, don't fight, girls. I'll take care of everything. He made himself into 50 forms. And each girl married one of those Subhadra Rishis. Subhadra Rishi used all his mystic potency because he had nothing. He was a Rishi. He used his austerities to create floating aerial mansions. He made 50 aerial mansions. And in each mansion, he resided with each girl and enjoyed sex enjoyment for 10,000 years, which was exactly the same time he'd been meditating. Sad, isn't it? Therefore, as a result, all his austerities were completely destroyed. And that Vaishnava Prat is powerful. How long will it last? That much you suffer, that much that Vaishnava Prat will last for. By suffering with those 50 daughters, 50 sisters, for 10,000 years. Sounds like another hellish planet. By suffering, that Vaishnava Prat became diminished. When that Vaishnava Prat became diminished, then his intelligence came back. Sometimes we see Vaishnava Prat. Guru is trying to give that person instruction, but that person cannot take the instruction because his intelligence has been covered by Vaishnava Parad. Therefore, for 10,000 years he suffered. That Vaishnava Parad became diminished. Then his intelligence came back. What am I doing? Alas, he began to weep. I lost my austerities for nothing. Again, he went and performed austerities. Therefore, Vaishnava Parad, think once, think twice. Then don't do it. Then, ninth canto came the descent of the Ganga. Ganga Mata Ki Jai. When Bhagavan Trivikram, Bhamandev, when he reached up, we heard last night, to capture the universe from his devotee Bali, his toe pierced the covering of the universe, and from that Garbhadaksh ocean, sorry, the Karuna Daksai, the Karuna ocean, that water came washing the feet of the Lord. Or some say Lord Brahma, when the foot came on his planet, he washed the feet of Lord Chivikaram with his feet. Therefore, that foot-bathing water of the Lord was known as the Ganga. Therefore, how the Ganga descended to this world is a wonderful history also. Ninth canto of Bhagavatam. By the mercy of Sukadev Goswami, we can hear something. King Saga was performing austerities. He was performing Ashwamedha Yajna. When he was about to offer the 100 horse as a sacrifice, that time Indra became envious. Indra stole the sacrificial horse. That time Saga Maharaj could not perform the 100th sacrifice. Therefore, the kings of Saga Maharaj became very angry. Saga Maharaj had two wives. The sons of one of Saga Maharaj went looking everywhere for the king. They dug a trench to look in the bottom of the ocean. That hole they made became the Saga. Saga means? Radhika, remember your Hindi? Saga means what? Ocean. Therefore, that trench made is how the ocean is now there today. Digging, 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 digging. They came down to where Bhagavan Kapiladev, we heard his instructions in the third canto. He is still present even today at Ganga Saga. They were digging, they came to the ashram of Kapiladev, who was meditating peacefully. That time Indra had kept the sacrificial horse there. When the sons of Saga Maharaj saw the horse near Bhagavan Kapiladev, 1 + 1 = 2. All they thought, Kapila has stolen the sacrificial horse. But Kapiladev had not stolen anything. He was just there in his ashram. When they approached Bhagavan Kapiladev to kill him, some say that Kapiladev glanced on them, they burned to ashes, but this is not true. Kapiladev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How he'll have any anger or tamagun in him, he does not. Therefore, automatically the fire in the bodies of the sons of Saga burned them to ashes. They became self-cremated, self-combusted. Saga Maharaj was very sad. He performed austerities. And then he could understand, my sons can only be delivered by the descent of the Ganga herself. Therefore, he tried to worship the Ganga, but he could not succeed. He died. His son, Anusuman, he also worshipped the Ganga. He also failed, and he died. Then the great-grandson of Saga Maharaj, Bhagirath Maharaj ki jai. Bhagirath Maharaj, he performed austerities to please the Ganga. The Ganga said, I will come, but my force is very powerful. Who will keep the force from breaking the earth? Only one person can do, that is Lord Shiva. Therefore, Bhagirath Maharaj began to worship Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was very pleased with him. He agreed to take the force of the Ganga on his head. Therefore, when the Ganga fell, she fell in the dreadlocks of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva wanted to teach the Ganga not to be so proud. Therefore, he bound his hair into, what do you say? A top knot. Only 3 days left. Only 27 more hours. How unfortunate we are. Only 27 more hours left. Therefore, Lord Shiva bound his hair in a top knot. The Ganga came and Lord Shiva trapped the Ganga in his hair and wouldn't let her out. Therefore, Ganga's pride was broken. She prayed to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva let out one dreadlock and the Ganga again made her descent. Bhagirath Maharaj was very pleased. He made a path. The Ganga was following him. How did Bhagirath Maharaj know the Ganga was following? He could hear the sound, good, 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 behind him. When Bhagirath Maharaj came to Navadvip, as he went through, the Ganga came and took the Achman pot, came through the ashram of the sage Janu Rishi. Janu Rishi became very angry. The Ganga was stealing, destroying my austerities. With one mouthful, he drank the Ganga completely. Therefore, Bhagirath Maharaj, he could not see the Ganga behind him. He prayed to Janu Rishi, oh, please be kind after so many austerities. Finally, I have brought the Ganga here, but you have now swallowed her whole. Therefore, Janu Rishi became very happy. He opened his thigh, made a small cut on his thigh, and the Ganga came out of his thigh. Therefore, one name of the Ganga is Janavi. We sing Kiba Jayo, Jaya Gora Chanda, Aratiko Soba, Janavi Tatabani, Jagamana Luba. All glories to the arti of Goddess Chanda. It attracts the mind of everyone. Janavi Tata Bani. Janavi Tata, the bank of the Janav, the bank of the Ganga, Bani. That forest on the bank of the Ganga is all attractive. Therefore, Janavi, Janava, and Janavi is a different thing. Because she comes from the thigh of Janu Rishi, therefore she is a daughter of Janu Rishi. Therefore, one of her names is Janavi. Janavi Ganga Ki Jai. Therefore, Bhagadat Maharaj led his chariot past Ganga Sagar. That's where the ocean, the Ganga enters the ocean. That's the ashram of Kapiladev. Just by touching the ashes of the sons of Sagar, they became liberated and went back to the celestial planets, back to heaven. Therefore, even today, when someone dies, they take the ashes and they put in the Ganga. And just by touching that, those souls will be delivered. My grandmother died recently. I wrote to my father, this might sound really strange, but keep some of the ashes of my grandmother. I'll throw them in the Ganga. I thought he'd probably become nuts, but he wrote, it's not strange at all. I'll keep some for you. So if Krishna arranges, we can... Hopefully Ganga will deliver her, because I won't be able to. Therefore, this is the descent of the river Ganga. Ganga Devi Ki Jai. Then came the wonderful pastimes of Bhagawan Ramchandra. Bhagawan Ramchandra ki jai. Ninth canto. Keshavadrita Ramasarira. Who is Lord Ram? He is nothing else but Krishna himself. Lord Ram is Ma Jada Purushottam. Krishna is Lila Purushottam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Prem Purushottam. Therefore, some people think why we should hear the pastimes of Lord Ram. Because we want to be one pointed to Radha Krishna, therefore hearing the pastimes of Ram may cause some disturbance. Not at all. Ram can also give Gopi Bhav. Or rather, I should say, by the blessings of Lord Ram, one can get Gopi Bhav. When Lord Ram went to the forest, the sages of Dantakaranya were performing austerities. Their Ishadev was Jayasri Krishna. And they were chanting Gopal Mantra, but Guru Maharaj says their austerities were weak, like ours. Sometimes chanting mantra, sometimes not chanting. Sometimes chanting and doing the blue thumb Gayatri. Have you heard of that? You know, you fall asleep and you've got your Brahman thread on your thumb. The thumb turns blue because of loss of blood. It means chanting, sometimes not chanting. Chanting and thinking of something else. Not chanting with fixed mind. Their practices were like that. Therefore, it took them many thousands of years. But when they saw Lord Ram, they had a desire to worship, except in the conjugal mood. Lord Ram said, it's not possible, this incarnation. He blessed them. By the blessings of Lord Ram, those sages took birth as Sadhan Siddh Gopis. Therefore, do not think that hearing the pastimes of Ram is useless. Hearing the pastimes of Ram, by the blessings of Ram, one can also achieve Gopi Bhav. Ram cannot give it, by his blessings you may get it. Like we'll hear, Drona and Dada, they worship Brahma for the benediction of Batsali Ras. Guru Maharaj says Brahmaji cannot give Batsali Ras. Someone may give argument, because Brahma does not worship Krishna in Batsali Ras. Brahma worships Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence. How can Lord Brahma give something which he doesn't have himself? Guru Maharaj said, we should not think that. Brahma is a pure devotee. Therefore, he is also Shakshad Harivana Samasta Sastra. He's also non-different than the Supreme Lord. Because he's a pure devotee, he says it, even though he doesn't have it himself, the Lord will make his benediction true. Therefore, what to speak of Lord Ram, no? Therefore, Lord Ram appeared as the son of Dasarath Maharaj. Dasarath Maharaj had many wives, but he had no children. Therefore, he was inspired to perform the child-giving yagya. What's it called? One special name is there. That yagya was performed by Sringhi Rishi. No, Mrigu Rishi. What's his name? Huh? No. Sringhi Rishi. Sringhi means deer horn. Right? Very interesting person. That history is given in the Mahabharata. One king heard, if Sringhi Rishi puts his feet in your kingdom will be devoid of drought. But Sringhi Rishi was living in the forest. He was complete celibate. He'd never even seen a woman. Therefore, how to attract him to the kingdom? One king made a plan. He made a floating island with many prostitutes on it. And they floated down the river. And those prostitutes would go in the daytime when the father was out. And the young boy was there. He'd never even seen a woman. Therefore, the woman came and he bowed. O Brahmana, who are you? The lady said, we do many different types of austerities. Sringhi Rishi did pranam like that. And that lady who was disguised as a saint said, oh, in my country, we don't give pranam like that. We welcome in a different way. She reached him and kissed him and embraced him. That's how we give pranam in my country. By the touch of the woman and by the embrace, then he felt transformation. His mind was disturbed. Also, the boy was wondering, you've performed great austerities. What are those raised lumps upon your chest? You must have done great meditations to get this yogic siddhi. In this way, the girls captured his mind and said, if you want to come to our ashram, come with me. They captured him and took him back to the kingdom. That's how Sringhi Rishi came to the kingdom of Dasarath Maharaj. Not that Dasarath Maharaj did that, but after a long history. Sringhi Rishi performed the ceremony. As a result, some sweet rice was obtained by Dasarath Maharaj. Dasarath Maharaj had 360 wives, of which three were prominent. I always get this bit mixed up. Half he gave to the wife, the mother of Ram. Her name is Kausalya. Half he gave to the other wife. Okay. Kaikeyi, who's the mother of Lakshman? Anyway, I always get that bit mixed up. I never get it down. How they divided the sweet rice and who gave birth to what? Bhagavan Ram Lakshman Shatrughna Bharat Ki Jai. All four appeared. How much attractive was Ram as a baby? He engaged in his childhood pastimes. Ram is very fond of Maupua. Just like Krishna is very fond of the peacocks, therefore he always carries the peacock feather in his head. In the same way, Lord Ram is very affectionate to the crow, Kagpasandi. If you want to read the original Mahabharata, it's in Sanskrit, written by Valmiki. But Valmiki incarnated in the form of Tulsidas to give the Ramayana in a very condensed form in Bhojpur, which is like Hindi. There he describes Kagvasandi was the original speaker of Ram Katha. Lord Ram's pastimes are very astonishing, very hard to understand. The pastimes of Lord Narayan are a little easy because Lord Narayan doesn't really have any pastimes. Lord Narayan never has marriage. He's always with Lakshmi. He never comes in the form of a baby. He's always there with four hands, Sankachakra Gadapadma. Very easy to understand, he is the Supreme Lord. He has so much opulence, everyone's there offering prayers. But Lord Ram's pastimes, because they're so much like an ordinary human being, they're very difficult to understand. Therefore, when... we'll have to start from the beginning. Lord Ram's pastimes. Lord Ram grew up. When he was a child, he was eating a Malpura. One crow, that Kagvasandi, came to get some Mahaprasad directly from Ram's hand. Lord Ram reached out to grab the crow. The crow had stolen the Malpur. Therefore, baby Ram ran to grab the crow. The crow ran. And when he looked, he saw Lord Ram's hand was following him everywhere, like Durvasa Rishi. Everywhere Kagvasandi went, the hand of Ram was following him. Finally, Kagvasandi came back to Ram, and Ram breathed him in. He went inside the stomach. Inside the stomach of Lord Ram was millions and millions of universes. Everywhere Kagvasandi went in the universes, the hand of Ram was following. Then after millions of years, Kagvasandi came out of the mouth, and he saw Ram was there. Give my Malpura back. Therefore, Ram from the beginning performed astonishing pastimes. One day, the great sage Vishvamitra appeared. O king, my yagra is being disturbed by the hooligan demons. They are passing stool and urine on my yagya. Please give me your sons to protect. Dasarath Maharaj became afraid. Oh, how I can give you Ram and Lakshman? They are just boys. I cannot give. Take me instead. Vishwamitra became very angry. Therefore, fearfully, Dasarath Maharaj gave his two sons, Ram and Lakshman, to Vishwamitra. For seven to show the ideal Guru Seva. For 7 days and seven nights, Ram and Lakshman did not sleep. Only they marched around the yagya, left, right, to protect from the influence of the demons. On the last night of the yagya, the demons, headed by Marichi, came and were trying to pass stool and urine on the yagya. Ram and Lakshman, with 1 hour each, they killed the demon on each side of Marichi. And Ram, taking the head off the arrow, he hit Marichi in the chest and threw Marichi 800 miles back into the ocean. Vishwamitra was very pleased with the boys. He gave them all the divine weapons. Then he said to the boys, let's go back to Ayodhya, but first I want to go and see my friend Janak Maharaj. Chalo. Ram and Lakshman went to Janak Maharaj. That time Janak Maharaj's daughter Sita. It was the time of her marriage. Therefore, Tulsidas described, early in the morning, Ram and Lakshman, on the pretext of picking flowers for the service of the spiritual master, they went to the garden where Sita was there. Sita had many friends, and Sita would worship Durga. And she would pray, hey Durga, like your husband is very attractive, very beautiful, very powerful, very kind. Your husband has all good transcendental qualities. I want a husband like you. Sorry. Like the gopis would also worship Yogamaya. Katyayani Mahamaya Mahayogini Adiswari Nanda Gopam Sutam Devi Kurute Pataye Namaha. Like the gopis would worship Katyayani. Hey Katyayani, we want Krishna as our beloved. In the same way, Sita would worship Durga. But not Durga, Yogamaya. Those who are influenced by the external energy will see her as Durga, but those who are internal devotees will understand her as Yogamaya, that Maya which joins you to Krishna. As she was worshipping Durga, one of the friends of Sita went into the forest, and she saw Ram and Lakshman picking flowers. How beautiful they were. When she saw Ram and Lakshman, she became completely intoxicated, mad. Tears were pouring from her eyes, her hairs were standing on end, her voice was choked. She became caught by prema for Lord Ram. When she came back, she was completely mad. The friends asked, what happened? What did you see in the forest? She said, Shama Gori Angakimba Bakani Jibe Ranayana Anayabinabani. How I can describe the beauty of that dark complexioned boy and that fair complexioned boy. Shama Gora Angakimba Bakani. How I can describe their beauty. Jiva Ranayana. Because the jiva, the tongue, has not seen. The tongue has not seen. And the eyes have seen, but the eyes cannot speak. She said, I cannot describe the beauty of those two boys. Therefore they asked Ram and Lakshman, why you have come to this forest? Lakshman was very intelligent. Lakshman did not say, we've come here picking flowers, because immediately Sita were thinking, why is he picking flowers? Is he someone's servant? He's meant to be a king. Therefore, Lakshman gave some excuse like that. We've come here to see the beauty of the forest of Janak Maharaj. That was the first meeting of Ram and Sita. Sita closed her eyes in embarrassment. That time her girlfriends were laughing. Oh, Sita, no time for meditation now. Open your eyes. Your worshipful deity is right before you. That time was the first meeting of Sita and Ram. Both accepted each other in the heart. But Janak Maharaj had made, the only person who will marry my daughter is that person who can lift and string the bow of Lord Shiva. The bow of Lord Shiva was so big, it took 300 men just to carry it. Such a size. Therefore, Guru Maharaj said, but when Sita would clean in the morning, she would lift it like that and clean. Because she's the energy of the Supreme Lord. The name, all Bhagavan's strength is with her. That time came the competition. Most kings, they couldn't even lift it up. Janak Maharaj became very angry. Oh! Are there no warriors, no heroes left in this earth planet? All are eunuchs. That time... Is Janak Maharaj obsessed by eunuchs? All are eunuchs. Are there no real men left? Are there no real men left in this temple? That time Lakshman became very angry. Hey, chup! How dare you speak like that? You have no right to say there are no heroes in this world as long as we are here. O king, you don't know who we are. We are the sons of Janak Maharaj, the heroes of the Solar Dynasty. My brother has not picked up the bow because he has not gotten the order from his Gurudev, Vishwamitra. That time all were happy. All the kings were thinking, how can this runt, Ram is very small, young boy, how can this skinny boy lift the bow of Lord Shiva? It's impossible. All were thinking, not run, but all were thinking he is very weak and small. How he can lift this bow of Lord Shiva when great kings have not done? Guru Maharaj said, even Ravan came at night time and tried to lift it, but his fingers got caught underneath the bow, so heavy. The time Sita, she wanted to marry Ram, but she was thinking how Ram can lift. He is a very slight, young boy. Therefore she prayed to Parvati, Shiva, oh Shiva, if I've ever done any seva to you, I beg from you the benediction, make this bow as light as a piece of cotton. She was praying in her mind. Ram came after taking permission from his guru. Three times he circumambulated. In 1 second he picked the bow, strung it, and he pulled it so hard it cracked, made a huge noise. That time it was a marriage. Everyone was very happy. How much Sita was happy, I will marry him. Therefore she came for the garlanding of Lord Ram. But because she was so much ecstasy, she cannot lift her arms. So much happy. And Lord Ram is also a king. How Lord Ram is, and Lord Ram is very tall, Sita is a little shorter. How Ram will bow his head to a woman is completely impossible. Sita cannot reach up. Lord Ram will not bow down. He is not Rasik like Krishna. Therefore an impossible situation. Therefore, Lakshman could understand, Ramachandra ki jai! Lakshman fell at the feet of Ram, and Ram immediately reached down, oh, my brother! He reached down to pick up his brother, but Sita could not move. She was in too much ecstasy. She was stunned. Therefore, the other girls, they picked Sita's hands, and they all put the garland on Ram together, because all had a desire to marry Ram. But Lord Ram's thinking, none of you girls can marry me. I am only one wife in this incarnation. But he fulfilled their desires, or got a chance to be with Krishna in the form of gopis. Majare Purushottam Ramachandra ki. Come on, Vijay. Jai. That time, how much happy was Sita and Ram? Immediately came Parashuram, Ram of the axe. Parashuram was very angry. Who has broken the bow of my guru, Shiva? Afterwards, we'll actually might as well do now. The pastimes of Parashuram. Should I do now or after? I have to do now, otherwise you won't understand. Parashuram was the son of Jamadagni. Jamadagni is a very powerful Brahman, perfected self-realized soul. Four sons, of whom Ram of the Axe, Parashuram was the youngest. At that time was a Kshatriya, a king called Katavarjuna. He had a benediction of having 1,000 arms. Therefore, for doing pastimes, he used to block the flow of the Ganga like that with his 1,000 arms. He was very powerful. One time when he blocked the Ganga, when he blocked the river overflowed and went into Ravan's camp. Ravan was so angry he came to fight with Arjuna, Katavarjuna. Katavarjuna put him in a cage like a monkey and hanged him in his ashram. That's how powerful he was. So Katavarjuna with his many sons and warriors were going through the forest. They came to the ashram of Parashuram's father, Jabadagni. Jabadagni as a Brahmin was an ideal host. Swagatam king, take. And the king, that Brahmin, he produced a wonderful reception for the king. The king was thinking, how is he doing this? He is living in the forest, he has nothing, but he's giving wonderful types of foodstuffs, pavilions, tents to sleep in, dancing girls, everything. Then they understood that Jabadagni had a magic cow, Kamadan, a Surabhi cow. Whatever you desire, the cow gives you. Therefore, the king stole the magic cow of Jabadagni. When Parashuram could understand, now this chapter, this king is very much a bad person. Instead of serving the saintly persons, he is stealing from the saintly persons. Power of the axe, Parashuram went there, and Katavarjuna sent 17 Akshahonis. And the battle of the Kurukshetra was 18 Akshahonis. How many million persons was it? 652, how many? 620 million soldiers were 18 Akshahonis were killed in the battle of Mahabharata. And that was two sides. One had 11, one had 7. Katavarjuna sent 17 Akshahonis. That's like 560 million soldiers against Parashuram, including so many millions of elephants, chariots, horses. Parashuram could fight at the speed of the mind. Imagine by the mind, I just cut off all your heads. 1 second. That's how fast he fought. I left Gopi's head on, don't worry, Gopi. In power of the axe was fighting so fast at the speed of the mind, he decimated everyone. He came with Katavarjuna, cut off all the arms of Arjuna, and took off his head and took the Kamadhenu back to his father. Katavarjuna's sons were in a distant place. When they understood that Parashuram has killed my father, they became very angry. They went there when Parashuram was not there. And while Jabadagni was meditating, they took off the head of Jabadagni. Therefore, Parashuram became very much angry. And when Ram of the Axe is angry, you better be careful. He took a vow, I will decimate the earth of the Kshatriyas. Therefore, 21 times he killed the Kshatriyas. He made a huge pool of blood, 5 lakes of blood. Those lakes of blood are still there. That is called Kurukshetra. Who has been to Kurukshetra? You came with us, didn't you, Madhu? No? Traitor. Those lakes are still there. That is the mercy of Parashuram. One who takes bath in those places became purified. Even Krishna himself went to Kurukshetra at the time of the lunar eclipse. But that's another story in the 10th canto. Parashuram, therefore, the idea is Parashuram is extremely violent incarnation. But anyone killed by Parashuram goes back to Godhead, therefore it's not so bad like we think. But he was very powerful, very irascible. One time, the mother of Parashuram went to the river to take bath and to collect water for the yagya of her husband. When she was collecting water, she saw the king of the Gandharvas. Imagine, Janavi, how beautiful he was. Just by seeing him, her mind was attracted. But she didn't do anything. Only by mind, she liked him. When she returned home, her husband knew. Unchaste woman, you are thinking of another man. He ordered the eldest son, chop off the head of your mother. Good stories are they, Charles? The eldest son was thinking, how can I chop off the head of my mother? It's a great sinful activity. I cannot do. The second son also denied. The third son denied, a great sinful act to kill my mother. Therefore, Jabadagni ordered his younger son, O Ram, chop off the head of your mother. Ram immediately cut off the head of his mother. Shik, then of the three brothers also. Chick, chick, chick. Why? Because those brothers have disobeyed the order of the guru. Therefore, they also deserve to die. We should bring that rule into the temple. Jabanagni was very happy. O Parasaram, you are my real son. You are the real disciple. Because you followed my order without imagining, without changing anything. We're not like that. The guru gives an order. What do we do? Venu? Huh? Don't do it. We change the order of the guru. Guru said to do like this, but I'll do like this. Guru said to do like this, but I'll do like this. We never follow the order of the guru as it is given completely. Because we don't follow the order of the guru, the instructions of the guru as he orders, we don't get the mercy of the guru. Therefore, Parasaram showed how to follow the order of the guru. Don't speculate. Don't deliberate. Just do what he says. Parasaram cut off the head of his mother and three brothers. Jabadagni was very happy. You are the real son, real disciple. Take a benediction. So Parasaram said, I want the benediction that my mother and brothers should have their heads back on their shoulders. They should be brought to life. And they should not remember that I cut off their heads. That would put a bit of a strain on the family relations. Therefore, Parasaram, he had faith in his father because he knew his father was not an ordinary person. Therefore, Parasaram brought them all to, Jabanagni brought them all to life again. So this is the character of Parasaram, very ferocious. Therefore, when Lord Ram broke the bow, immediately Parasaram came there, shaking with anger. Who has broken the bow of my guru? Give answer. And he was waving his axe. Even though Parasaram was a Brahmin, he took up the duties of a Kshatriya in order to control the demonic population. Therefore, very angry, who has broken the bow of my guru? Give answer! And he was shouting and waving his axe. That time all the kings were shaking. All were terrified. They could not even speak. So much they were afraid of Parasaram. Then Lakshman said, dear brother, why are you so much attached to an old bow? Isn't it? We didn't know that you were so much attached to this old piece of stick. Don't worry, we'll give you a new one. Because as kids we used to break bows all the time. We didn't know you were so much angry. We simply picked it up and it broke. It must have been rotten on the inside. And Parasaram went nuts. He became very much angry. Who is this stupid boy? Doesn't he know who I am? I am Parasaram, the great warrior. Have you not heard of me? Well, Lakshman said, if I haven't before, I have now. Since you are glorifying yourself so much, then of course I've heard about you. Then he began, you better be careful, boy. This axe is so cruel, it has killed even babies in the womb. And Lakshman said, I'm not a pumpkin flower. Don't think that I will wither away just by you pointing your finger at me. Then Lakshman said, the only reason I haven't killed you is because you're wearing a Brahmin thread. Who are you? Are you a Brahmin? Or are you a Kshatriya? You seem a bit confused about if you're Arthur or Martha. Who are you? And Parasaram became very angry. He said, the only reason I haven't killed you, he was so angry, he was shaking, and all the kings were like, the only reason I haven't killed you is because I'm merciful. You are just a boy, therefore I'm not killing you. And then Lakshman laughed, Baba, if this is you and you're merciful, I'd hate to see you when you're angry. That time Ram came forward. Maharaj, please forgive us. We couldn't, my brother is speaking to you that because he cannot understand if you're a warrior or you're a Brahmin. Because he sees you carrying an axe and bows and arrows, he's speaking to you like a warrior. But I see that you're a Kshatriya, you have a Brahmin thread. Therefore, we are the followers of Dasarath Maharaj. Even if the Brahmin has cut off our heads, we will not say anything to you. Who broke the bow? It must have been me, your most surrendered and obedient servant. If my head has given you some offense, then here is my head, you may cut it off. You should not be angry. We are small boys. Even your name is longer than mine. My name is only Ram. But your name is Ram of the Big Sharp Axe, Parasaram. Even your name is bigger than my name. I'm only Ram, but you are Parasaram, Ram of the Big Fat Sharp Axe. Therefore, please forgive me. And for Guru Maharaj says, Lakshman was insulting him, but Ram was very sweet. Therefore, he'd become hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. Angry, peaceful, angry, peaceful. Then finally, he was bewildered. And he thought, who can break the bow of Ram, of Shiva? He thought, only Vishnu could do that. Therefore, he thought, who is this Ram? Is he really the Supreme Lord? Then Parasaram, who is a Shakti Veshavatar, a partial incarnation of Ram, he opened his hand, and the bow from the hand of Ram of the Axe went automatically in the hand of Bhagavan Ramachandra. Then Parasaram realized, I made a big offense. If Ram is the Supreme Lord, then Lakshman is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I've made offense to both. Therefore, Ram took an arrow. He said, what do you want? I have to take something from you. I'll take your life, or I'll take your austerities, your energy. Therefore, Parasaram said, don't take my life, take my power. If you take my power, then I can still perform austerities. Therefore, Parasaram gave up the business of being Kshatriya. His energy was taken back by Ram. He went and was performing austerities peacefully. Apparently, he's still alive today. So Ram's marriage was so much wonderfully performed in Janakpuri. That time before, Janak Maharaj was a great Brahmavadi. What's his name? I was just saying. Janak Maharaj was a great impersonalist. There are two gurus in the Brahmavad Sampradaya. One is Astavakra, who's bent in eight places. The other one is Janak Maharaj. When Janak Maharaj saw the beauty of Ram and Lakshman, he asked Vishwamitra, who are these two boys? That time Vishwamitra said, Maharaj, in your whole life you never asked who is anyone. Therefore Janak Maharaj said, Etu Borosi Ati Anuragi, Etu Balak Ati Anuragi, Borosaman Brahma Sukatyagi. I don't know why these two boys are so beautiful. They've stolen my mind from impersonal meditation. Therefore Janak Maharaj became a devotee. Janak Maharaj ki jai. Where's Vijay? Oh, can we do a kirtan? Yes, sir? And he what? What was the last bit? Means because the Kshatriya is always meant to be obedient to the Brahmanas. Because they were not actually following the instructions of the Brahmanas, actually they're killing the Brahmanas and stealing their property, therefore they'd become a burden on the earth. Therefore, for that reason, Parasaram destroyed them. Okay? Some Ram Kirtan. Jai!